everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Sunday Service Podcast. I know that I've been gone for a while and that we haven't had any new episodes, but we've been working on new episodes for you. And today's episode is very exciting. We have Nina here with us, who is a chakra healer expert as well as a holistic womb health educator. So you guys know that I love all things holistic lifestyle and womb health. So I'm very excited to learn a little bit more about this topic with Nina, and as well as for you guys to learn more from her as well. So Nina, can you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your expertise?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me, Faven. This is a pleasure. So a little bit about me and how I landed in the holistic space. I technically could say it started in 2017, but if I'm being honest, it really started when I was a child. I mean, I didn't have, you know, control over the foods that we were eating or if I had to go see a Western doctor, anything like that. But my interests were always kind of on the periphery. They always were a little bit alternative. I was telling Faven before we started this that as a child I'm on TLC watching birth videos and just like mesmerized by birth and pregnancy, and everyone else is like watching, I don't know, Disney. So yeah, it starts there. And then I went through a series of health battles through high school and college. Just could not figure out why I had such horrible stomach issues. I mean, nobody could figure it out. I felt sick all the time. My poor mom is taking me to every specialist under the sun. We're doing procedures, tests, nothing. You can't find anything. So, you know, they chalk it up to, well, we'll just try this medicine or try that medicine. And I did. And of course, nothing worked. And then I realized that I just need to take it into my own hands and started really focusing on foods and lifestyle. And right now, you know, I have certain sensitivities where I know what won't really resonate with me. But for the most part, I'm super healthy. I feel really good. So yeah. And then in terms of the healing modalities, in 2017, I had graduated college the year before, working at a 9-to-5 corporate job, and things just were not it. Mentally, not great. Spiritually, just in a dark, dark place. And I couldn't figure out what the answer was. And so a friend of mine had gone to see a chakra healer who's also an intuitive. And I decided, you know what, let me just go check her out and see what that's all about. I had only heard of chakras like once. I had no idea what that was. And so I go to her and we, you know, do the whole process. And I feel like my soul just like took, like a weight was off. Like, okay. Someone who does not know me was able to help me sort through things just by an energy read. And so that was really, really powerful and enlightening. And then some years would pass. And after COVID, I got in touch with her again. And she's like, you know, you should really do chakra healing. And I was like, but I wasn't born with this natural gift to read energy. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. She's like, no, you can get trained. Don't worry. So over COVID, I get trained virtually. Really, really awesome experience to go through that, because it was like, it had such a profound impact on me. And now I was able to hopefully impart that on others. So that was really cool. And then probably a year later is when I really started to focus on the womb health piece. Mm-hmm. I was seeing it with clients. Like when I'm doing the chakra session, I'm like, how are your cycles? And they'll be like, not great, or, oh, you know, I haven't had one in a while, or I'm bleeding heavy. And it was just so mind-blowing to be like, it's showing up in this other modality. And I got super into holistic birth and womb health, and really actually learned about birth control and what it actually does to the body. And so those two modalities sort of integrated over time. And so now I don't really see too many chakra clients, like here and there, if somebody wants to come to the house and get a balance, you know, I'm all for it. I focus a lot of my time and energy on the womb health education. So sorry, that was a lot, but no, I that's love how it. We got it.
You said so many gems in this one speech that you gave. So many questions just ran through my mind, but I'm going to start with one.
Yeah.
The one pertaining to chakra healing. What is that to those of us that don't know what that is, and what does it consist of?
So chakra healing is an Eastern medicine, Eastern energy healing modality. There are, if anyone is familiar with acupuncture, what they're doing when they are poking you with the needles, it's not random, right? They're connecting to certain meridian points in the body. And the chakra system is a series of 7 energy points along the spine of the body. And they connect to different organs. So physically, they have a function. Spiritually, they have a function, energetically and emotionally. So an example I like to give is, one time I had someone, she is a client, and we were doing a balance, and I kind of noticed that the throat chakra area was, I don't want to say fully blocked, but it wasn't operating the way, like, optimally, let's just say. And I didn't know why. I brought it up to her after. I said, you know, it could be thyroid issues, maybe if you're on medication or not on medication. Sometimes this is where people either feel like they don't have a voice, or they're not good listeners, like they're talking too much all the time and not listening. And maybe that's like from some insecurity or feeling, you know, shame or less than or whatever. And she said, yeah, you know, my thyroid has really been acting up, and we had to change medicines and yada, yada, yada. And so it's things like that where I'm not going to ever diagnose something, but we it can show up in your energy field. And it's something that, yeah, let's try to work on getting it in balance. But this was a physical issue for her. So, you know, she knew about it, but let's say she didn't, it would be like, all right, let's just keep an eye on that. And maybe, you know, I always would tell people, you know, these are certain foods or certain practices for each of the different chakras that you can try to implement. And then we'll see next time, you know. So it's just kind of like a mirror and a window into our overall energetic body. So
I love it. I love it. It's so crazy because when you spoke about the nodules in your throat when you are experiencing overactive thyroid, mm-hmm. is definitely took me back to memory lane when I was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism, because I went for a yearly exam checkup for my primary doctor, and mm-hmm. same as you did, she examined my, you know, throat area and noticed that there was a bump that she could feel. I did not know anything about this. I did not know what a thyroid nodule was or anything. So she actually set me up to go see an expert to get x-ray to confirm, okay, if something wrong. And then she also did blood work and found out that the levels were off. So that led her to send me to a specialist. But when you spoke about that, I found it intriguing because, you know, most people don't know that examining parts of the body, right, can indicate a health issue. And that often we think that we need to get an x-ray, or that we would know, but these are symptoms that you wouldn't know until you actually become aware of your body, or you have somebody that's an expert that examines the issue. So when you examine the body parts, right? I know you said that it's parallel to acupuncture, and that chakra healing is similar to that. So for someone that has never done any of those forms of treatment, how can they better understand it or experience that?
So chakra healing is actually, some practitioners do touch body. I don't. I might touch top of the head or bottom of the feet, but and everybody does it differently and people are trained differently, but I was trained to use a pendulum, which is a crystal on the end of a string, essentially. And, you know, I center myself and I hold the pendulum over the seven different chakra points. So the root chakra is the base of the spine. So I'd hold it, you know, if you're laying on your back, like around the pelvis area or below. And then I move up each seven points. And depending on the way that it spins or doesn't spin, gives me the information of how the chakra is functioning, whether it's in balance, whether it's completely blocked up, whether it's off balance and kind of all over the place. So that's how I would get a read. And then through a series of techniques with the hand about 6 inches above the body, we're moving energy in a way that will bring these chakras back into harmony if they needed to be. So if you wanted to get a chakra balance from a practitioner, they're most likely not going to touch you. So they're not going to be like examining you like maybe a physician would. But like I said, sometimes, and I always would ask the person before, is it okay if maybe I touch the top of the head or the bottom of the feet to promote groundedness or something? And most people say yes, but of course you don't have to.
Yeah.
Acupuncture is quite different. That's a Chinese medicine modality, and they are hundreds of meridian points that,
yes,
are, you know, like, I don't even know all that, but yeah, they're trained to use the needles in those different meridian points for various reasons. So in that case, yes, you're gonna feel something. They're similar, but you know, they each have their own function, but I love both, and I think acupuncture should, I think everybody should get acupuncture. Yeah, I don't think everybody should get chakra healing, to be honest, because they kind of get weirded out by that. And if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But acupuncture is just, wow. Yeah. So hope that answers the question.
No, I agree with you, Nina. Those two practices are definitely vital. I have never tried chakra healing, but I've been researching a lot. And that is something that I want to get into, since I'm into holistic health and holistic lifestyle, and I've done acupuncture before. And initially when I did acupuncture, I was like, what is this? Because of my hyperthyroidism, I couldn't stay still for nothing.
And I was like, you're a liability.
I always just felt like I had to move around. My hands sometimes will be a little bit like shaky, and I experience a lot of nervousness and anxiety. But I didn't know any of this. Right? Because I didn't know how to really be still and listen to my body, because I never embarked holistic lifestyle or herbs at that time.
Yeah.
So when I first was introduced to acupressure, I was like, what is this? I have to stay still and lay on the bed, and then they're going to poke me with this? I don't think this is supposed to be a good experience. Like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. So my holistic doctor was like, okay, obviously you have hyperthyroidism. I'm trying to make you practice stillness so that your body can listen to you and begin to heal. Mm-hmm. So the first session that I did it, I was like, when is this going to end? So I even tried to move and felt pain. And she told me before, not move. You can actually injure yourself.
Yeah.
So I didn't move. But I noticed that she placed the needles in my lower abdominal where the fibroids were. So she was treating two things at once. She put one on my forehead, different parts of my eyes, and there wasn't a place that she didn't put it.
Right, you got the works. Yeah.
Yeah, but what's so crazy is on top of using natural herbs and doing that practice and eating healthy, I noticed that I didn't feel symptoms anymore from my fibroids. I no longer felt jittery. I no longer felt nervous. I just was a confident, balanced person. So mm-hmm. I do agree with you that it's very vital for individuals, whether they have health issues or not, that they embark both practices, because it helps us be balanced and really address our health issue. So
yeah.
Yes, it does. So I'm happy that you spoke about that. Everything you've been saying, I'm just so passionate about, and I'm really loving yes. how the interview is going. So my next question would be, I know that you spoke about holistic womb health and how you specialize in that department. And you spoke a little briefly about how birth control has an impact on our health, right? And I want to dig deeper in this topic. So I wanted to talk to you about how does taking birth control, I know that we normally take birth control to prevent pregnancies for those of us that want to practice a more balanced way of, you know, not having children too early. So how does that impact womb health when it pertains to birth
control? So this, I mean, we might need multiple episodes on this, but essentially, birth control is, I guess I'll call it a medication, that there is not one system of the body not impacted by birth control. Many people think it is just to prevent pregnancy or to help with painful periods or to make your periods regular. And it's not the case. When you're on birth control, you are not getting a period. You might be bleeding. That is not a period. You're not ovulating. The link between brain and ovary has been shut off. They are not communicating with one another. And it's dangerous, right? Because our cycles are a huge, we call it the fifth vital sign. It's a huge look into our overall health. And if that is shut down, for most people aren't on it for a couple months, they're on it for years and years and years. So what often happens is girls in their teenage years will get on it for a couple of reasons. One, okay, yes, they want to prevent pregnancy. Two, their periods are irregular. They're, you know, they can't keep track. Maybe they're feeling like they need to miss school if they're super heavy. And we've all been there, right? Initially, that's why I went on it. I was having really painful periods. I had a kidney stone. It was just terrible. And I was like missing so much school. I was like, Mom, can we just go? And, you know, we went and I got it. But what is not told to anybody is that the earlier you start it, the worse it is going to be when you get off of it. There are birth control-induced diseases such as PCOS, post-birth control disease, you name it, amenorrhea, infertility. People don't want to talk about that. That's a big one. And the issue with getting on it for so I'm going to separate these. I'm going to separate it into getting on it for health reasons and then getting on it for pregnancy prevention. If you are in your teens or even younger than that, God forbid, and you're experiencing irregular periods, that is normal. The first few years of a girl or woman's cycle, the body is going through a whole new hormonal system, things that haven't been turned on in however, you know, 12, 13, 14 years are getting turned on. And then we expect them to just be, you know, back to back to back. And it's not always the case. And it's very normal, not only very common, because sometimes things that are common are not normal, but very normal and very common for the body to be finding its rhythm. And before the body can even find its rhythm, we're shutting it off.
Yeah.
So that's problem number one. And when it comes to pregnancy prevention, you know, I went to an all-girls Catholic high school, okay? There, it was no type of reproductive education beyond, okay, yes, we know where babies come from, and you should wait until marriage, and that's it. Birth control is bad. But what we're not taught is the four cycles, the four phases of our cycle. What do each of them do? When is what phase and how many days of the month can someone actually potentially get pregnant? Mm-hmm. And it's not all 30 or 31 days. It's about 5 to 6 days. And I understand why institutions wouldn't want to teach this, because, you know, people would perceive it as promoting, well, then they're just going to go and be promiscuous and blah, 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 blah. But it's actually harming girls, because then these teenage girls turn into women in their mid-20s, 30s, who have no idea what ovulation means, decide to get off the pill because they want to have kids, are realizing that things are not just back to normal after one, you know, cycle of being off of the pill. The problems that they got on the pill for are actually worse now. Mm-hmm. Or if they didn't have problems before, they might see that they do now. And yeah, I mean, it's a whole thing that really we could go super far into, but I will pause there. And if you have any follow-up questions.
By the way, I loved everything you said. And I do agree with you on the aspect of how negatively birth control affects womb health, and how, you know, at times we're not educated about, okay, how does a menstrual cycle look like? Okay, how often do you get pregnant within that month, within that 1 month? And these are things that some of us women are having to learn as adults. And yes. Even now in the school system, I think that changed, because I know we used to have growth and development education class, but I don't even think they have that anymore. And that doesn't begin to address what menstrual cycles are for women, or even womb health. So I do agree with you that when we take birth control, right, to treat an issue, whether it is because we have irregular periods, which most of us experience when we're teenagers, whether it is to prevent pregnancy because we don't want to walk in the same footsteps sometimes as people in our family. And although those are the right reasons to go into it, it's not always the best way to go about it. And I do agree with you that you develop more health problems when taking the birth control. And I can contest to that with my personal experience, where I took birth control for a year when me and my husband were in college, because we didn't want to have a baby while we're trying to finish our undergraduate. And after that, after graduating, we decided to build our family. And I stopped taking the birth control. And I would say 2 months after that, that's when I found out I had fibroids. That's when I found out I had hypothyroidism. So I actually went against my natural hormone and exposed it to synthetic hormone. And the only way my body was capable to even endure all of that is it ended up developing a health issue, these two health issues, because I put something in my body I originally was not supposed to.
Yeah.
So as someone that is a living evidence of why you should not take birth control, I highly agree with you, and I'm very passionate about this. And I don't go around talking about it because I don't want to scare people.
Sure. But
as a woman, as a Black woman, I do not think that any woman should be taking birth control, because it's going to affect you in the long run, especially if you want a family, especially if you want to preserve your womb. It's just not worth it. So I'm really happy that
it's not
stressing that.
Yeah, and if that's not sinister enough, I encourage people to go and look at the history of birth control. Not the Google version, but the actual history. How it began was a method of population control. they were nervous in the late 50s and early 60s that the population was booming and the economy wouldn't be able to keep up with that. And so they get into talks about what can we do? What can we do? How can we kind of suppress the population? And they come up with birth control, and they go to Puerto Rico and they give it to very poor women who really just didn't understand what they were being studied on. And some of them died. And that was not reported in the studies. And so if you look back on why it even came about, it should tell you that this was meant to disturb and disrupt the reproductive cycle. It is not meant to heal any womb health issues, hormone, none of that, acne, weight. No, that was not what it is designed to do, and it's not what it does. So yeah,
definitely the opposite of what it's supposed to do. So it's, I just hope that you guys just really look into it before subjecting your body to synthetic hormone, you know, that goes against your natural hormone function. So we're going to move on to the next question. What does holistic health entail? I know we spoke a little bit about womb health, and why is it important for women?
Holistic health to me, and I know it's such a buzzword and everything is holistic and but
it's very popular right now, by the way, the word is, holistic.
And it doesn't bother me that it's popular. It bothers me that people want to be holistic on the surface level and not really, like, a holistic approach is full, right? It's the whole picture. It's not, I have clean beauty, but then, you know, I don't nourish my body properly and I just don't feel good, but I use holistic skincare, or I eat super clean, but then I'm taking on fragrances and toxic skin products and all of that. It's got to be the whole thing, right? And I know that nowadays it might feel inaccessible to a lot, because holistic natural products, food, makeup, anything, it's expensive. Okay. There are some people who won't even wear like a non-organic clothing because it's toxic. I get it. But if somebody is interested in holistic health, start where you are. I mean, are your daily habits and your daily thoughts things that are promoting health or sucking it out of you? Mm-hmm. Are the people around you filling your cup or depleting it? How do you treat yourself? How do you talk to yourself? What do you do when you first wake up in the morning? How do you talk about others? How do you talk to others? You know, what kind of foods are you eating? Are you even nourishing your body? Especially women. I mean, we are not like men. We can't not eat until the afternoon and be drinking coffee all day. You will deplete yourself. Yeah. So it's a full-rounded approach, and that's what holistic health means to me. And I don't mean that you have to buy the top organic everything, because I know that's not possible for everybody, especially with these inflation prices. Yeah. I get it. But everybody can start somewhere. And whether that's a free meditation on YouTube or a journaling practice, you know, just something, or standing outside barefoot, grounding. There are things that you can do that are not necessarily going to cost you anything, but are going to reward you heavily.
I completely agree, Nina. As a whole practice when it comes to holistic lifestyle, I know that the terminology sounds so sexy, right?
But, yes,
but it's more than that. It's about, as you said, it's what you eat, it's what you practice, it's what you pour back into yourself. And, you know, I even, after having my son, had to kind of really be hard on myself to go back to being fully holistic, because in the process of being pregnant, right, and trying to adjust to motherhood, you kind of lose that a little bit, because it's not just about you anymore. it's you, a baby, and your partner. So mm-hmm. I do agree with you on that. Holistic is not just taking little parts and saying, I want 10% of it. I want 5% of it. It's like, no, it's the whole aspect about it. It's about your state of mind. It's about how you think yeah. about yourself, how you think about people, as you said, how you speak about people. And I do agree with you. It's a lot of things that we have to give up, right? Gossiping, eating bad food, yeah. Making sure we're getting that 30-minute workout every day. Yoga, right? And yeah. I think that most people are really starting to understand that yoga is not just beneficial to you physically, but it's beneficial to you mentally and spiritually. Mm-hmm. And I've been very heavy on yoga lately.
Oh, and wonderful.
I'm reaping the benefit of that, which is just calmness, right?
Yeah. And that's free on YouTube. Like, you don't have to go to an expensive yoga studio. Yeah. I mean, you can if you want to, but it's free.
Yes. And it's also connecting with your community. If they do yoga, yep. let them yep. know what phases you are in your life and connect with them. But I don't mean to talk too much about myself. I just really love that.
I love it.
I just love that you spoke about holistic wealth means wholeness, right? It means being yes. grounded and giving 100%. So I love that. So how do you integrate holistic womb health with chakra healing in your practice?
So I kind of mentioned it earlier that I was just seeing it a lot, popping up a lot. And one thing that, so it integrates that way. Now, you know, I don't really see too many chakra clients, but I do chakra balances on myself, and that's one thing that I would love to do more of, is to teach people how to do it on them for themselves, right? But yeah, it's so for women, I mean, our wombs are really, really a central part of our overall health. It's not just for our reproductive health, but it's for our center of wisdom and intuition and creativity and relationships. You know, if you think of, so the root chakra is the first one, and in those relationships, think of a child, right? It's just your family and your parents who are helping you meet your basic needs. And then we move up into our sacral chakra, and this is where we start to branch out and build relationships, you know, outside of the family. So if I had to say, you know, how do I integrate them, one is I check in on my own energy. When I was seeing people, I would often find that something in the sacral was going on. And then we'll move into, all right, is a yoni steam something that might benefit you? Are certain herbs maybe something to explore? When are you eating? How are you eating? You know, it opened up a floodgate of questions related to womb health that we first caught, you know, on the table, essentially. So
I love that. And so I know you mentioned bee steaming, right? So how beneficial is bee steaming for womb health for those of us that have not practiced it yet?
So this is something, and I should have mentioned, I did this for the first time in 2017. It was kind of all in that same time frame of really rediscovering things. But yoni steaming is, there's no literature on it, right? And if you are someone who wants the studies and you want the scientific proof, and you're probably going to be dissatisfied in your quest to find that. But what I will say is there is something to be said about a healing modality that we can't really pinpoint what region of the world it started from, because it's prevalent in all regions. And that spoke to me a lot, because with chakras, for example, I mean, if you go to Europe, nobody's doing chakra healing, right? I mean, maybe they are now, but it wasn't just something that, like, it had to be brought there from another region. Or same with acupuncture, it started in China. So when you have something that profound that you could literally trace to every continent, to me, that says something. And so if you're weary about it, talk to people who've done it. Go on Yoni steaming pages, but it is a detoxification of the womb. It promotes circulation. It's a stress reliever. It's huge with fertility, fibroids, cysts, PCOS. I mean, you name it, and the steam will benefit it somehow, right? Sometimes when people are trying to conceive and they can't, right? Maybe they think like, oh, it's not happening. I have infertility. And they might, and they go to a fertility specialist and they're like, yeah, you have infertility. We don't know the cause, right? But you have it. I have a problem with that, right? Because if we took the time to really address the body at all level, right? At lifestyle, food, mental health, spiritual health, physiology, right? We want to make sure things are right there. But something that a steam can do, and herbs can do this too, but sometimes we can't get pregnant because it's not that the egg and the sperm aren't meeting, but maybe there's an implantation issue because the walls of the uterus are just not healthy, or there's too much old toxic blood stuck on there. Or sometimes the last phase, the luteal phase of our cycle, is too short and the egg and the sperm might meet, but it didn't have enough time to implant before our bleed happened, right? And so there's a lot of different reasons that pregnancies might not be happening. And yoni steams, you know, when done with the right herbs and when done with the appropriate frequency and whatnot, I mean, it's done a world of difference in the infertility space, but it's not even just for that. I mean, I've do them myself. I used to go see someone, but it's another thing. You can do it yourself. I know it seems scary to be like, you want me to sit over a boiling pot of hot herbs? Like, what? I mean, there's so many resources now that if it resonates, I encourage people to try it.
I completely agree with you, Nina. I know there's a lot of benefits to that. And I love that you spoke about how it treats various of womb health, like fibroids, also aids with circulation of the blood in the womb, and helps with infertility, which is what I experienced because of the hormonal issues and the fibroids. All of them on the outside part of my wall still affects circulation. And when I started doing re-steaming, I noticed a difference in my womb health and didn't feel pain that much from
I love it. I didn't know that.
It's actually very vital because it helped me with being able to conceive my son. So,
I did not know that before. I swear I didn't know. Oh my gosh.
I know. I love that. Stories, right?
Oh, that is so awesome. See, you're a testament to it.
I'm sorry, Nina, you were saying something?
Oh, no, I said you were a testament to it, right? I didn't even know that.
We both are testaments, right? Because it helps both of our health issues. So I second what you said. It has so many benefits, and it dates back so many years, and it is practiced in various cultures, meaning that we are capable of doing it at home, right? It's just there's YouTube. There's also going to a person that does the re-steaming education and, you know, asking them to show you. But, you know, I have some herbs at home that I use that's particular to what my health issue is. And I steam every Friday. So I do encourage Fridays are steam days. I don't play about that.
Yeah.
I do urge every woman, like, I know steam new and it's a little bit scary because you're like, how am I going to sit under a steaming hot water with herbs? Just be still in that moment. But the benefits are worth it. So I do agree with Nina, it's worth it.
And you just feel like so relieved and light after. Yeah, no, it's great. Can't say enough good things about it.
So there are common misconceptions about womb health that most of us often encounter. What would that be for you, and how would you like to address that?
Yeah, so this was a question that I probably focused the most on, because there's just so many things, and I decided to focus on a few. So one I talked about, I just made a little list, the irregular periods in the teen years, mm-hmm. right? So we discussed that. We discussed infertility being unknown.
Yes.
Another thing that is probably a huge misconception is that your cycle is just willy-nilly. Like, nothing happens day, like, you bleed, mm-hmm. and then nothing is really important going on until you bleed again. And people are just so in the dark about yes. what the four phases are, what they mean, what they're, how they function, what are, you know, some good foods to eat during each, and all that. So I think that that idea that, oh, nothing much is going on, bleeding is like the end all be all, that is like our womb health is getting your period, mm-hmm. or not getting your period, and either wanting to get your period or being sad that you're not pregnant, right? So
yes.
that is concerning, because we miss so, there is just so much opportunity to get to know yourself and really take that authority, because, and I'm not going to push the envelope too much, because I don't want to like rub anybody the wrong way, but women's health is an area in Western medicine that from teenage years or your first trip to the gyno, they're already implanting in our heads that something is wrong. Your body is your enemy. You're gonna get pregnant. You're too stupid, right, to mm-hmm. to figure that out on your own. You're way too dumb. You could never manage your cycle without getting pregnant, right? Or, you know, without them sticking their fingers up in you and checking, your health is at the helm, right? So there's this, we literally give authority of ourselves in the most intimate ways over to the allopathic model from such a young age, and it trickles into pregnancy and birth, and even it, and they kind of just like forget about you when you hit menopause. They might give you like hormone replacement therapy, but there's not too much to manage, right, when you get to that stage. So I think a lot of the misconception in womb health is that we have to see a gyno. We have to get our pap smears. We have to get our annual checks. And you don't have to do any of that. I'll leave it there. You don't have to do that, right? And then one more that I wanted to touch on earlier is that, and a lot of the doctors are pushing this now. I mean, I haven't seen a gyno in years, but the last time I was there, which was like my final, they were pushing birth control and the IUD. And I was like, I don't want any of that. So when people think like, oh, I'm on non-hormonal birth control and they have the IUD inserted. No, nothing that is a foreign object inserted into your womb is non-hormonal.
Yes.
Because what happens is this metal object, and God forbid it lodges somewhere else in the body, that happens quite often. What it's doing is your womb realizes something is in there that shouldn't be. And it releases this inflammatory response, trying to kill it, right? And so what happens if sperm was to enter the womb, it's killing the sperm, because whatever comes in its way, this inflammatory response is already, it's an inhabitable space, essentially. Our body is trying to protect us. It's like, mm-hmm. why is there this piece of copper floating in an internal organ of mine? So nothing you do in that regard is non-hormonal. And your hormones will suffer, whether you notice right away or not. they will. So I'll leave it at that unless you have any other follow-up questions.
Perfect, perfect. You answered it very perfectly. I love that you went in depth about that answer. So outside of being a certified chakra healer and a holistic womb health educator, you're also an author, which is amazing. I love to read, and it's amazing that you're able to formulate your own book in order to help, you know, your audience and our community. So what inspired you to write When the Universe Speaks, which is the name of your book?
Yeah, so I've always been a writer. Like, even in schools, you know, if I had an English paper due, I maybe didn't even fully read the book, but I could write a good paper, okay? And teacher, I remember my freshman year of high school, I wrote my first, like, I don't know, 2 or 3 page paper, which felt like the biggest task ever. And she came up to me after and she said, you should really join the school newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. Because I really like to write. So, yeah, I've always been a very good, well, I was always a very good writer. And then 2017, when all that weird stuff was, I just like wasn't feeling that great, didn't really know next steps. I started a blog called When the Universe Speaks. And it was really at the beginning of what I would call like a spiritual awakening, which I know is like a super buzzword, but that's what it was. Before that, I wasn't super spiritual or anything like that. And I just started to write in this blog, and it was so healing. Like, I could be having the worst mental episode or the worst day, and I would just get to writing in this blog, and I felt like so much better. And I don't know who it was. Some probably friends or family were like, ah, you should write a book. You should write a book. And I was like, maybe I should. So I had moved to Europe and I was working on it a little bit before. And then when I moved to Europe for a bit, that was 2018. So I was like, I'm going to like eat, pray, love this, you know, romanticize my life. It wasn't like it was hectic, but good experience. But I wrote my way. A lot of the book was written during when I lived abroad. And it was vulnerable because it's something I wanted to do. Like, I want to say that I wrote my own book, you know. I'm not over here like trying to get it published for the New York Times or anything like that. It was just something personally that I wanted. I set my sights on, I could see the physical copy, and I couldn't wait to get my hands on it. But I knew that that came with, well, people are going to read it, right? And mostly when you're a teeny tiny little author like me, it's going to be people you know. So that's pretty vulnerable because it touches on a lot of different topics, from family dynamics to culture, to friendships, relationships, even like personal career, you know, trajectory. So it touches on all of that. And I was 22 or 23 when I started the book, and it came out when I was like 24. So, you know, a couple years. And I love the book. I am almost 30 now. I still go back and I'm just like, oh, you really did that. But I have evolved even more. And that's a thing when you write a book about yourself, is like, it's a snapshot in time. So if someone reads that now, 6 years later, it's like, yes, that's still me, but it's not. Like, I'm me, but I've evolved. And so I definitely want to write more books on probably womb health and birth and the whole social constructs behind that. But yeah, that's where that came from.
That's beautiful that you went through that journey. You even went to Europe. And by your early 20s, you published your first book that was, you know, that was related to your journey and your experience and your awakening experience. So that's beautiful, because most of us can't say that we ever wrote a book, right? We read books.
It was a labor of love. I'll tell you that. It was a labor of love.
But that's beautiful, and I'm looking forward to purchasing your book and reading it. So, because you know, I love anything pertaining to holistic health or just an awakening experience. So, I would love to learn more from you from your book. Can you tell us a bit about what the core message is of your book?
The core message is, so the title is called When the Universe Speaks. I went through such a period of time of just not listening to myself, not listening, not even tapping into the universe, right? People say God or whatever your spiritual affinity is. And it was when I started to actually listen to myself, trust the process, lean on a higher power, and integrate that into, honestly, my everyday life. Like, now there's not a day that goes by where I'm not thinking about the universe or God or you know, whatever you want to call it. And it's about when, if you're going through tough times or unknown times and uncharted waters, there's a purpose. There is a purpose and a reason behind everything. And I know a lot of people hate that and it's cliche, but I believe to my core that every single thing happens for a reason, and we don't always know what that is in the moment. And sometimes we never know, but a lot of the times you look back and you see those breadcrumb moments and you're like, I get it now. I understand. And so it's really about leaning into one's own intuition, creating boundaries for yourself, treating yourself well. And sometimes that might look like you're the freak of your family or your community, because you're kind of on, like I said, on the periphery. You're the more alternative weirdo person. And that's fine, right? It's your own journey. It just embrace it. And yeah, if that's the main core message, it's just listen. Listen to yourself. And find a relationship with a higher being, whatever that may be. Because trying to do this thing on your own, it's going to be tough. So, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. I love that. So our next question is, how do you stay grounded and connected with your own energy and health while helping others? I know you spoke a little bit about that earlier, but if you can go in depth.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people look at me and maybe other holistic people and think, oh, you just like meditate and are positive vibes all the time and da da da. And that's just not the case. It's not the case at all. But I do know that there's two options. Life is gonna life. The sun rises and it goes down every day, and you better keep pace. So you can either sulk or just go through, I don't want to say blindly, but just be on autopilot. And then you're going to eventually just wake up one day and be like, what have I been doing? Like, I feel so unfulfilled. I don't feel good. I'm just lost. Everything's chaotic. So I make it a point, and I talk about this in the book a lot, but there has to be, for me, there has to be in the morning, it's got to be quiet. Bonus if I can find a good chunk of time to meditate. But I can't wake up and get dressed and go on the day. That is going to just be a catalyst for some chaos. So how I stay is my mornings are sacred to me. And people in my household, they know that by now. And like, if I'm getting disturbed, I start to feel like I'm going to explode. Like, I need that time in the morning to get connected, to gather my thoughts, to tap into creativity, to meditate, to pray, to breathe. That's one. Secondly, I'm very conscious of the foods that I eat. And then third is moving your body without exercise. And I feel like people don't take this one seriously enough. I'm not saying that you have to enroll in a gym and lift the heaviest weights ever. I like to do strength training. That is what works for me. I don't know, like boxing or something, that might not work for me, but that could work for someone else. Like, our bodies, we were designed to move, to lift, to kind of face some sort of challenge physically each day. Like, by design, our ancestors had to, the men, you know, were hunting, and the women are gathering water and preparing things and, you know, and carrying children around. And that's just how we were designed. And when we become too stagnant, and I know a lot of our jobs require us to sit at a desk in front of a computer, we totally neglect the laws of nature. And then we find ourselves just depressed, feeling sick. Maybe we're having weight issues, you know, you name it, right? Especially here in the States, we're not the healthiest. So I think when we defy the laws of nature is how we really uproot ourselves, and not in a good way. So stick to the basics and play around. I would just say find what works for you. Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect. I love that. I love that. Because it's like you said, it's, we're not always perfect every time, right?
No.
It's just about practicing what keeps us grounded and balanced. And I love that you are transparent about what helps you stay grounded, and how to avoid habits that don't help you achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
So who or what has been your biggest influence or inspiration in your journey as a healer and educator?
Yeah, I focus on this question too a lot. And biggest influence besides the original chakra healer that I saw in the womb health space would probably be the Free Birth Society. Mm-hmm. And I know that's very controversial to some, but that just like really woke me up to something I already knew, but just didn't know was accessible. So look that up. It's called the Free Birth Society. And there's tons of other accounts that kind of go into that. But my current biggest inspiration is, so I'm almost 30, and a lot of people around me are starting families, you know, maybe they're having their first child, or maybe even their second, or they're wanting to have kids. And it just, when I see it, them fall into the assembly line of what womb health and pregnancy and prenatal care is, and then you know, the birth itself, because they either don't know that what is being done is maybe not necessary, or they're just so fearful, and that I'm being very careful with my words. We're told, like, this is what you do, this is what you follow, you have to do it, or you and your baby are going to die, and da 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 da. And it's like, it's just so sad to see this over and over and over again. And then for the birth itself to be traumatic. And sometimes I catch myself being like angry that this message isn't getting across to the masses, because I feel like the more women that wake up to it, the more women and babies who are going to be, you know, relieved from these traumas that happen to them. So that's my biggest inspiration right now. It's just like taking a look at, there are still so, I get lost in my echo chamber of birth, right? And pregnancy health, and everybody I follow and all the accounts I interact with, they have the same beliefs that I do about it. But then you have another subsect of people who aren't in that, and you're like, wait, we're still letting ourselves get abused and butchered by the medical system. So I would say that's my fuel right now.
I love that. I love that. And I love that you spoke about how, you know, it impacts you, and how your inspiration is what guided you through your journey, and how, you know, seeing the cycle of, you know, being told that this is what we need to do with our body is never ending. a never-ending cause, and that you're here to make a difference and let women know that, hey, no, you do have other options, and let me be the one to educate you. So that's very beautiful. So we're about to end the interview. I know I really did love speaking with you, and I wish it could go longer, but we do have to end it. So how can our audience connect with you and learn more about your work and services?
Yeah, I mean, the best way would just be Instagram. It's bluebutterflyhealing_ at the end there. You'll see a lot on there. I mean, I say this all the time, prepare to be triggered if this is not something that you have thought about a lot or maybe care too much, especially in the womb world. Prepare to be triggered, but use that trigger and kind of alchemize it into a curiosity. And so everyone is welcome. You know, my inbox is open. I love chatting with people, you know, through DMs. Like if I post something, they're like, oh, well, what about this or this? And then they might share their own. So I am all for that. So bluebutterflyhealing_ on Instagram.
Thank you so much, Nina. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. I love learning all about chakra healing, womb health, and just even speaking about birth control. And we talked about so many things. and I love it. And I truly enjoyed talking to you and learning from you. This definitely has been a rewarding conversation and interview. And we look forward to having you back on our next season. We have 2 more seasons and then we're on to the next season. But thank you everybody for tuning into the Sunday Service Podcast. It's your support that continues to allow us to share this knowledge with our community, especially women that are looking for resources and helping find treatment or understanding with the health issue that they are experiencing. We look forward to providing you with more resources, and we look forward to giving you new episodes to answer any questions that you have. Until next time, we wish you all a blessed weekend. Thank you so much, Nina, again. I truly do appreciate you for being on our podcast.
No, thank you for having me. This was amazing, and what you're doing is awesome. So
thank you.
Proud to be a part of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.